Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
You published the Film Choreographers and Dance Directors Encyclopedia back in 1997. Right. Why did you decide to write that? That heck of an undertaking.
I'll try to make it as quickly as possible. As an avocation, I was writing books about dancing film stars, and I wrote a book about Betty Grable. And while researching her films, there was one film that had no choreographer in it. And I thought, well, that's impossible. Betty was cute, but she could not, you know, chew gum and walk at the same time. She needed a choreographer. So in my blustery way, I was complaining about that. You know, this is crazy. Why isn't there a book about film choreographers and dance directors? And someone dared me. So I did it. And it was just a real labor of love. I learned so much, and it's spun me off into all different kinds of things. I ended up being an associate professor at a couple of colleges, teaching a course on dance and film. So it really sent me in a wonderful new direction. But that was my reason, because somebody dared me.
And it was all because of Betty Grable.
All because of Betty Grable. I have a cutout of her, the famous one of her looking over her shoulder,
oh, yes,
a life-size thing, sitting in my office. She's my muse, if you will.
Not bad. You could do worse. You could do a lot worse.
I know.
You also wrote a book on Fred Astaire, if I'm not mistaken.
I did.
Yeah. Did you ever cross paths with Fred?
Well, this I'm really lucky. I happen to be one of his daughter's best friends.
Ah.
So I first met him as the father of my friend, which was, you know, pretty scary. Knock, knock, knock. Open the door. There's Fred Astaire. Larry, how are you? Come on in. And I'm saying, thinking, that's not the way it's supposed to go. It's supposed to be, oh, Mr. Astaire. Oh, none of this Mr. Astaire stuff. Come on in. He was another wonderful, wonderful man. The only unfortunate part was this was about 10 to 15 years before I started the book. And I wish I had listened closer. Hermes Pan was there, his choreographer and best friend, and
right.
Hermes would talk about it, but Mr. Astaire really didn't want to talk about it. When you think about how many times, this was by now in the 70s, how many times he talked about things that he'd done,
sure,
what, 40 years before? So he didn't want to talk about it much, and so as I was writing the book, I would kick myself, think, oh, darn, I'm sorry I didn't ask that. But his daughter, Ava, is still a very dear friend. She would tell me everything she knew. But interestingly enough, children don't know anything about their fathers. She thought Cole Porter was her uncle, you know, growing up in that wonderful family of really legendary people. So, yes, I did meet him, had lots of, he and my wife, he loved my wife. My wife is a Japanese lady, and he just thought she was beautiful. So I've got nothing but the greatest admiration and wonderful memories about him.
So how long did it take you to put the encyclopedia together?
The encyclopedia took me, at least 5 years. I'm now working on a revised edition, which I'm really happy about, because since 1997, dance and film has actually changed. It has a whole new maturity to it, with people like Boz Luhrmann and Kenny Ortega and so many of the wonderful, you know, High School Musical. I mean, dance and film is really a much more accepted form. And then also I happen to think that martial arts is dancing. I think that films like Run Lola Run are dancing. I've learned so much, and I now look at it in quite a different way. As a young man, I saw movie musicals, and I was inspired by them, but I didn't realize that in the 30s and the 40s, the camera didn't really dance. It was quite passive, and people danced very much like a stage show.
Yeah.
But now, with everything that directors, photographers, especially editors have learned, it's all about the immediacy of dance that is happening, and I think has taken it to a different plane.
Well, here's a technical question. Now that you mentioned that, do you find that with the technique, with the handheld cameras and the Steadicams that allowed directors and photographers to get in so close on the dance, that some of that stage overall perspective gets lost sometimes?
There's a pro and con to that. Very interestingly, I was just hearing about John Travolta talking about Saturday Night Fever. Mm. When they filmed the big dance number, the editor cut it in bits and pieces, his hands, the turn of his head, so forth and so on. And he said, no, you have to use the master shots. It's all about seeing the body from head to toe, because it's the inertia of the dancer that gives the motion. That now I don't think is true. You have to be very good about how you edit, or else it is just fingers and eyeballs, mm-hmm. and it could be six different dance-ins. It's not the person dancing at all, and that's no good. But people like, and I mentioned Baz Luhrmann, I think Strictly Ballroom in particular, the dance is photographed so beautifully and edited in that film. It really does encompass, we understand the whole dance.
And I guess the latest big dance film would be Nine, Rob Marshall. He's done some great stuff.
Right, and Chicago, too.
Chicago being his other one.
Which he, and this is nothing bad, he really is doing homage to Bob Fosse, the way Fosse shot Cabaret. I can remember when Cabaret first came out, there were all these naysayers, oh my God, the way the camera moves and starts, and suddenly he's on a train, and then a girl kicks, and a... Go back and look at it now. It's so contemporary. It looks like it was made yesterday. And he really did make the template to keep... That's another thing dance used to do, would stop the story. Okay, mm-hmm. Everybody, we're going to have 3 minutes while somebody dances. Dance does not do that any longer if it's used judiciously.
True. That's true. But getting back to Nine, and talking about the cutting and the editing and how that can cover up a multitude of sins, my understanding... is that Penelope Cruz talk about can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but her star turn in Nine was phenomenal because of the editing.
Right.
Apparently it took a couple of days to shoot.
I know. It probably did. And, Richard Gere is now perceived of as a dancer. And
yes.
I'm not saying anything bad about Richard Gere, but those aren't his feet tap dancing.
Yeah.
Or Antonio Banderas doing the tango in a couple of his films. That's not his feet work, and that's nothing against him.
No.
He's the star we all came to see, and we believe it, and we bought it, so therefore it is.
And as you say, that's been going on for years, as lip-syncing and ghost voicing has been.
Correctly, yeah.
Yeah,
because... And sometimes Betty Grable had a dance in on all of the really balletic things, the swirling and so forth. Betty was a tapper and a hip shaker. She was not, she could not go on point and she could not do that. So I have no negative feelings about that at all, because film's completely manipulative.
Yeah.
It's all pieces that somebody else put together, and they show us what they want us to see. Therefore, dance-ins. I mean, look at Avatar. Those people worked their blue heads off in that, but we never see them, and yet we do.
Yes, very true. Yeah. In your research on the film choreographers and dance directors book, it kind of led you to founding the Academy of Dance on Film. What does that do?
Academy of Dance on Film, because I had amassed so much research material for Betty Grable and then Fred Astaire and then the Academy of Film Dancers and Choreographers, Film Choreographers and Dance Directors, I thought, this cannot just now go to the wind. So I started a nonprofit foundation where we housed videos by the millions, stills, books about people, letters from them, a really incredible library. It was in existence for 10 years, but as all nonprofit things, and also anyone of you out there who are in the library business, it doesn't work anymore. First of all, because everything should be on the internet. We should not have papers in our drawers and so forth and so on. So it's a dying breed. So it is now dissolved, but I've had several universities that are very interested in having the collection intact. So we did very well. We really did. We gathered it all, and it is going to move on. I promise everybody is going to move on to a place where hopefully those who are doing research can access it.
And would that also involve it being put online?
Boy, I hope so. I hope so. We've had so many people who want to do that, but we still have the copyright laws.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, there's a thing called fair usage.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I could show them in the classes that I gave because it was under fair usage. The students were not taking them home. They were not dubbing them. Once you have them on a shelf and somebody can take them home and dub them, and then all hell breaks loose, and I understand that. But with YouTube and all of those things, it ain't over yet. And my feeling is this belongs to the ages, ladies and gentlemen. None of this belongs to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, because Metro doesn't even belong to itself anymore. Warner Brothers bought it. So if you're only showing numbers from a film, I would think that it's a great advertisement to go out and buy the film.
Well, no kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite film choreographer?
Favorite film choreographer is Jack Cole.
Okay, for anybody who doesn't know Jack Cole's work.
There's many people who don't, and
yeah.
That's okay. Jack Cole came from Ruth St. Denis and Ted Chaun, which is one of the most historic American modern dance companies. He then added jazz to that, and Jack had a very unique, and the reason I say I like him so much, he has a very unique voice. There are very few choreographers, to me, that have unique voices. You can, when you see West Side Story, you can know that's Jerome Robbins talking. And when you see Cabaret, you know that's Bob Fosse talking. That's also the way Jack Cole's films are. I think he's much more famous for his non-musical pieces, like the film Gilda. Everybody swears he's the one who made Rita Hayworth a star by choreographing a strip number for it. It's all about hair and teeth and the way it's photographed and the angles. He also did Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend for Marilyn Monroe. So he really was very important in the sex goddesses images. He worked with Rita Hayworth, as I said. He worked with Marilyn Monroe, Betty Grable, Jane Russell. He made them all pop through the lens because of his movement.
Oh, it's interesting you mention him, because my technical consultant on all things dance, my wife Ann Wooten, who I know you've been in correspondence with,
and she's already in my revised edition. I can't wait.
Oh, I know she's. You know, funnily enough, I took down, because we have your copy of your first edition, and I gave it to her for her birthday, and I took it down off the shelf and was opening it up on the dedication page that I wrote for her. I said, "You'll be in the next one." And so we're both thrilled that she's going to be. Yeah,
you were a crystal ball gazer. No, she is, because particularly between 1997 and now. I mean, the credits that she has and the things that she's done. And now another thing, I love the internet. I love the internet. It is now tying people from Canada in. I'm in correspondence with a wonderful woman from Mexico. Suddenly I can find things so much more easily than I could internationally than I could previously. So, yep, she's there.
That's great. That's great news. The reason I mentioned her was because she has often spoken very reverently of Jack Cole. So it's interesting that you should mention
him
as well.
I think anybody who's introduced to him sits up straight in their chair. It's like this is an interesting story. A really good friend of mine, whose name is Tony Basil, choreographs all of Bette Midler's works, her nightclub shows and so forth. Well, Bette Midler was looking for a way to go with something, and Tony asked for, did I have a compilation of Jack Cole? Well, she said she and Bette sat and cried looking at it, because there's so many great ideas in there for a non-dancer, if you will. But as a mover, Jack really got inside and made each one of those movements tell a story or give a layer to what. So Bette Midler, you know, in fact, Bette Midler's production company then gave some nice money to the Academy of Dance on Film.
Great.
So I think once you're introduced to him, for those of you out there who like the Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend number from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, and also remember Madonna's Material Girl music video, It just keeps repeating itself. Choreographers who see it are impacted by it, and then they, it's not that they recreate it, they do an homage for him. So yes, he's a good one. And he was irascible. He would quit Broadway shows and have fights. He would quit movies, and he was his own worst enemy. So I think that's why he did not become the major dance celebrity that he should have been.
But it's interesting what you say about people who can move who aren't necessarily dancers. Bette Midler being a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
And I know Anne did a choreographed her in a film, which she found an interesting challenge. You know,
right.
Bette was receptive to all of the work, and not exactly a confident dancer. So
no, yeah. But you know, Anne is on that side where, and I'm sure she, when she gets non-dancers, she spends time with them to find out how they move, how they react, what do they feel comfortable in. And Mr. Cole did that in the 1940s. He was about behavioral movement, if you will. Mm.
Well, it's all about really building trust so that the performer who doesn't feel confident trusts you to make them look good.
Right. Yeah. Jack Cole also did something which I think probably others have done. He used to stand right behind the camera and he'd tell Rita Hayworth and Marilyn Monroe, he'd say, give it to me. Look me in the eye and tell me how much you want to be wanted. So they're actually working to him rather than the camera, which is another good thing because they had complete confidence in him. I had a wonderful discussion with Jane Russell, who was another of my favorites, especially as a teenage boy. Woo-wee!
Yeah.
Anyway, to meet her as an older woman, she's still gorgeous and so womanly, and she had such wonderful things to say about how Jack Cole made Jennifer Blonde's work, because he said his patience was forever with both of those girls. And at one time he took Jane Russell aside and he said, Marilyn is really scared. You have to initiate every movement and she'll follow you, because if you wait for her to go, she won't do it. And if you watch the opening number, just two little girls from Little Rock, they're almost like Astaire and Rogers. They keep looking at each other to see where they are, and I find that a fascinating thing, too. Jane was much more comfortable in her movement, oddly enough, although she's quite a large woman and does not think of herself as a dancer, but she has confidence galore. So she'd go and one and pow and hit it, and Marilyn would hit it, pow, and, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Jack Cole, favorite film choreographer. Do you have a favorite movie with dance?
No.
No?
I don't have a favorite movie with anything, because it depends on what I just saw.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in the 60s, I'd have said West Side Story, and then in the 70s, I'd have said Cabaret. Now I'm into Bollywood movies, and I love the dance number in Slumdog Millionaire now. It's my favorite. So they keep changing, and I can't really say that.
Well, there's so many ones out there to choose from. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I just saw a really, and I'm not going to remember the name, a great Chinese movie that was a musical, and it blew me away. They had a lady named Farah Khan, who is one of the most important choreographers from Bollywood, come and do the staging, and it's a mind-blower. You just don't expect that at all from a Chinese film. Love, Perhaps, is the name of it.
Okay.
And I'm constantly, as you can tell, I'm constantly looking for new stuff. I'm fascinated with what different nations perceive as a musical, for instance. Some of them still play at it, but now suddenly, and I believe it's Taiwan, I don't think it's mainland China, it's not a Shanghai film or a Beijing film, I think it's Taiwan. The director, and admits on the extras, I hate musicals, so I did it as a challenge, and he nailed it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that you consider martial arts to be dance, because of course it is.
I do.
I'm thinking of, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Absolutely.
If I got it the right way, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or the other way. Anyway, you know the film I mean.
I do. One of those dragons and tigers.
Yeah.
One of them were crouching.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so many of the reviews, like the New York Times, called it Ballet in the Air,
was
the headline for the review.
Absolutely.
It's all the same skill, too.
Mm-hmm.
There was in my course, I used to do one of the sessions, and I'd start out and I would say things like, okay, you just came from another planet, and I'm going to tell you that what you're going to see physically takes great discipline. It takes practice and training. It all has to be rhythmic. The body has to be toned and able to do all sorts of things. What am I talking about? And they'd say, you know, ballet. I'd say, no, I'm talking about martial arts.
Hmm.
Because I know for a fact Jackie Chan choreographs on a 5, 6, 7, 8, down, hit, pump, pump.
Interesting.
So many of those people. And the new, and although it's not quite that new, I'm crazy for parkour.
Yeah, oh, boy. No
and that, if that ain't dance, nothing is.
Yeah.
I mean, they are whizzing in the air. It's mostly improvised, but talk about having a body that dances. Those guys. So, yeah, no, I do think martial arts, and I always love it when Jackie Chan, like, channels an old Fred Astaire movie or Singing in the Rain or something. He can really dance. He really can. We gave an award to him. The Academy of Dance on Film used to hold an annual event called the American Choreography Awards, and one year we gave him a Movement Innovator Award.
Huh?
And he was all quite embarrassed and quite shy about it and everything, but he and I, talking to his manager, I said, have Jackie put together a compilation of what he thinks are his best dance moves, and the audience was on their feet. They'd never seen anybody do that kind of physicality, and it does have a rhythm, and it does have a pattern, and it does make you dance.
Now, on the subject of China, interesting, because something else that you've been doing for many years, you've been part of the Disney Live company and have staged their theme park shows.
I was.
Now you are working with the U.S. Pavilion at Expo 2010 in Shanghai.
I am.
Yeah.
I worked in Hong Kong, I worked in Taiwan, but this is my very first time in Shanghai, and I'm really sorry that I wasn't there earlier. What an incredible, incredible city. It is more European than it's Asian.
Mm-hmm.
The energy in it, and especially of the people, and the willingness of the people. And my first trip there, as we were walking past, they were demolishing some area that the guy that I'm working with turned to me and said, next time you be here, all of this will be gone and a building will be up. And I'm kind of like, pshaw. And that was like a month, and it was true. It was all gone.
Wow.
And all new. And the internationalness of it, I was not prepared for, to go in the French Concession and see all of those things. It's like walking on the back lot of a movie studio. You turn a corner, you know, people are pulling wooden carts with twigs in them, and you turn the corner and you're in France, you're in Paris. Incredible. Art Deco buildings, original Art Deco buildings, it's magnificent.
And you are responsible for the entertainment portion of the U.S. Pavilion for
Shanghai. I am, yes, I am. The only thing I'm really responsible for is we're producing a daily show. We have a stage in front of the pavilion called What Else But Dance America, which is going to be a collection of all of the collective memory images, Saturday Night Fever, Thriller, Fame, Flashdance, all of that. It's a wordless show, but we think our Chinese audiences are going to really, it's going to resonate with them because, oh, that's America, I remember. Because so many other nations learn about us from our films.
Mm.
They really do. You know, if you see too many gangster movies, you say you're from Chicago, everybody goes, oh, have you got a gun? You know, no, I haven't. So that's going to be very interesting. And the Canada Pavilion, tut-tut, being produced by Cirque du Soleil, they're going to be in the air over there.
Oh.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see that.
Okay.
We chose not to have a pavilion that has a lot of entertainment inside of it. It's like a theme park attraction. You go into three different theaters, and it's all on film, but it's 3D, and there's wind and rain, and your seats rumble and all of that to tell a story. The theme of the expo is Better Life, Better City. So I think most of the nations are talking about how can we be ecological sound, and how can we be green, and how can we make the best possible life for our children? And that's a good thing.
Well, listen, I know you just got back from Shanghai, and I know you're fighting jet lag. I certainly would be under the circumstances, especially bouncing back and forth. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. This has been great.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me, and give my best and congratulations to Anne. She's doing great work.
I shall. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.